National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elected officials continue their criticism of the federal government over its response to the reports of drones, mostly in New Jersey. Federal and military authorities say they've not assessed any threat. The FAA has published a new website and information about drones. In a video on the site, FAA spokesman Kevin Morris says,
"The FAA regulates drones to keep our nation's airspace safe and efficient. This includes who can fly them, where they can fly them, and at what altitudes."
Authorities in New York City say there are indications the man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson will end his fight against extradition from Pennsylvania, where he remains in custody. Today, President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game. On social media Friday, he said that Republicans will do everything in their power to end daylight saving time. And Texas sued a New York doctor for providing abortion pills to a woman in the Dallas area. This is ABC News. Obesity rates fell in the U.S. last year. One question is why.
Obesity in the U.S. decreased slightly last year, according to a JAMA Health Forum study. Rates falling from 46% in 2022 to 45.6% in 2023. While experts credit weight loss medications like Ozempic for contributing to the decline, other factors such as improved diets and post-pandemic lifestyle changes may be at play. Women and older adults saw the most dramatic decreases, especially in regions with higher prescriptions of these drugs. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi in a hospital in Luxembourg. The 84-year-old suffered a hip injury when she fell on an overseas congressional trip. And Pro Football Hall of Famer Randy Moss announced Friday he's being treated for cancer and just underwent major surgery to remove a cancerous mass in his bile duct. The 47-year-old is considered one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The Wisconsin Innocence Project is ending the year with some key victories, including helping with the release of two men who each spent decades in prison. But their cases illustrate systemic issues. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
David Bintz spent 25 years in prison, and Manuel Cucuta spent 27 years in prison. Both were sentenced to life despite glaring holes in their cases. The Wisconsin Innocence Project believed both are innocent. Project co-director Christopher Lau says it speaks to a greater systemic issue that colors most of their cases and reinforces what it was designed to do.
So part of this is just historical. You know, the way our policing and incarceration system evolved was from basically their vestiges of slavery. And, you know, we try to keep down historically underrepresented people.
He says while not everyone may adopt those views, there is a lot of pressure to close cases and keep people incarcerated. The U.S. incarcerates more people for longer than any other developed country in the world. Compared with Wisconsin's total population, Black and Native people are overrepresented in the incarcerated population, with Black people incarcerated at a rate 11 times higher than white people. Lau says in order to even begin to think about reform, The U.S. and the state of Wisconsin need to re-examine priorities and funding, as well as rethink the point of doling out such long sentences when it doesn't keep communities safer.
Good arguments that it makes us less safe, but we still keep doing it because it's, I think, one, easy politically, and it's because it's where we put all of our money.
He says, regardless of guilt or innocence, there are simply too many people who are incarcerated. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of rain and snow and highs in the mid-30s, a bit breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, rain mixed with snow and temps around 34. For Sunday, cloudy and 42. Clouds and 42 again for Monday with a slight chance of rain, 33 on Tuesday.
It's 24 right now.
Dive into the heart of community issues with Lean Local, hosted by former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. Lean Local focuses on what truly matters in our neighborhoods and communities. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Sundays at 1 on 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello and welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This edition is going to the dogs, or to the cats, or whatever animal you consider special. A recent pet owner survey shows there's generally one dog or cat for every two people, and fish are the third most popular pet this year, after dogs and cats, of course. So knowing this, our cover story shares a bit of a twist. Exotic pets. You know, the lizards, snakes, birds, dagoes, and tarantulas of the pet world. There's an exotic pet rescue right here in New Wisco that takes care of those that might otherwise be abandoned. Amanda Nimmer reminisces about the best dog she ever had. It was one that had been abused and was considered hopeless. We have stories on biking and walking in the winter and how to stay safe, a look back in time at how much it costs to transport animals across the river in one Wisconsin town, and the Oshkosh Area Humane Society wants its pets to find their forever homes for the holidays. Pete Schwabe has our classic cinema pick of the week, and later, a heartwarming story about one local band and how a love for their pets became part of the group's name, plus what they're doing to help animals in need in your community. We begin with a look at the benefits pets can provide, and many of you already agree. The National Institutes of Health reports 65% of families in Wisconsin have a pet. Terry Barr opens up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with why the love of an animal can do so much more than just keep you company.
There is something to be said about coming home and being met at the door by your happy-to-see-you pet. And though research on the human-animal connection is still considered relatively new, it's hard to argue when a survey by the American Psychological Association reveals pets contribute to positive health effects.
It releases different hormones in your brain, which help with mental health. So some of those hormones are serotonin and dopamine, and those are the like happy hormones. So the ones that make us feel happy, improve our mood.
Heidi Eberhardt is a health therapist and recently started studying the impact a pet of any kind can have on people. From the squeak of a sweet little guinea pig to the purr of a contented cat. Eberhardt says pets can boost your mood while decreasing stress and increasing feelings of social support. And if you play with your pet, you may even be able to improve your heart health and lower your blood pressure.
A lot of research has shown signs that anxiety lessens, depression lessens. Oxytocin is also released in the brain. That can help us feel connected. It can help us feel loved.
And isn't the feeling of being loved special? Whatever new surveys show about relationships between pets and people, the love and the bond leading to health benefits is enough for me. for New Wisco Weekend. And along with my cats, Harry Yeti Boo Boo Kitty, Whiskey A Go Go, and CBGB, I'm Terry Barr.
And Terry tells us the research around pets and people doesn't end there. Studies continue on the ways animals and kids interact. Scientists with the National Institutes of Health are following everything from children learning to care for a pet to the way an animal may impact a child with ADHD, autism, or even reading difficulties. So far, the results are very positive.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Being active in the winter has some special challenges, but one New Wisco couple has the tips to make it safe. Here's New Wisco Weekend's Conrad Krieger.
Traveling the country on a tandem bike, one state and many miles at a time, Peter and Tracy Flukey share their adventures through their books.
We have two books. The first book is about our 2014 trip where we crossed the northern part of the United States. And then our second book, which came out in 2023, is about our trip on Route 66. So started in Bay to Chicago and then en route to San Monica, California.
And that book is killing it right now because the 100th year anniversary of Route 66 is in 2026. So that, you know, that wanderlust that we have as Americans, you know, the great American road trip. And we just put a twist on it because people are talking about, oh my gosh, you know, I drove, you know, 100 miles today in my car and I'm exhausted. And then they're like, oh, you bike that route?
Through the Flukey's experience riding tandem during all seasons, Peter and Tracy share tips on how to properly ride safe during the winter.
For you to think about when you're out during the winter is before you go out, look at what the temperature is, look at the wind and what the wind chill is, and then dress accordingly.
A main concern while riding bikes during the winter is ice. Peter tells how you can avoid a big fall with spikes.
It's icy. We actually have some ice spikes that we put on our shoes. I used to think those were for old people. And yeah, I guess I'm old now, but it's like, I do not want to get hurt. I want to be outside having fun, being healthy. So they just slip right over your shoes. Yak Tracks, ice spikes. There's a couple of different ones. The ones I have actually have 6 carbide spikes on them and I can run in them. So I don't have to worry about slipping and falling.
In winter, it gets darker early in the day, and it's harder to see bikers on the road. Peter shares what types of clothing help the community see bikers.
It's darker, right?
Yep.
And people are still working. So now we're trying to exercise before. We have a daughter that's running at 5 a.m. because she needs to be in for work and she's training for the London Marathon. So wearing bright colored clothing, but more importantly than that, retroreflective material and carrying some kind of light. Yep. It makes a huge difference in your safety.
You're out there and you got to make yourself visible.
To be clear, so when you're biking, you do have to have a white light to the front, a red light, a red rear reflector. So those are requirements.
If you would like to check out Peter and Tracy's book, Coast to Coast on a Tandem Bike, where they shared their first cross-country trip in 2014 on a tandem bicycle. Or you can check out Bicycling Historic Route 66. You can find these two books in local bookshops in Green Bay, or go to their website, webike.org. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Hippopotamuses and hippopotamuses like me too.
Don't give up on the pet with a troubled past. I'm here to tell you why it's worth it, why it's worth your time to have the patience and understanding to adopt, love, care, and reteach these pets. Because not only are you giving them a second chance, you are creating a bond that is so strong, unbreakable, thick like steel with these pets. Back in 2011, I came across a post on Facebook, of all places, in one of those buy and sell groups, that someone said, hey, someone needs to come get this dog. Otherwise, if no one's interested in her, I'm going to just take her to the Humane Society. That caught my attention. Was I looking for a dog? No, I already have one. Her name's Donna. She's a fat beagle, and she's still alive to this day. But I read the post, and they mentioned things like not the best with kids, and they just don't have the time for her, blah, 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 blah. Some pretty vague but standard stuff. Something in me was like, you know what? I kind of want to check this out. Because she's a husky and she was gorgeous and she was young. It was tugging at me. I had to go take a look. I ended up bringing her home, but very quickly. I mean, within days, we noticed something was not okay with her. She wasn't potty trained. She was 18 pounds for a two-year-old husky. If you know anything about huskies, that is severely underweight. And she was absolutely terrified of my husband, of men. She saw a man, she quivered, she got in the defensive. These people clearly left out some details on this dog's history. She was abused and malnourished, and the whole not that good with kids thing. Turns out that they let the kids just crawl on this dog, pull on her, hit her. And if the dog reacted in any way, the husband took it out on her. They didn't train her. They made her terrified to be alive. Oh, and if that's not bad enough, they named her Midnight. Who names a majestic husky Midnight? We affectionately called her Mitty. After making these discoveries, I never once thought I need to get rid of this dog. All I could think about was trying to make her better, trying to make her feel safe, and trying to let her see that she has the ability to be loved. Even when she started getting a little aggressive with our beagle, I didn't give up. Mitty, over the period of the next 6 years that I got to have her, went from a terrified, somewhat aggressive, and overly dominant dog to a puddle of a baby. The bond created between her and me was irreplaceable. Everyone has that one pet that they will never forget that always has this big chunk in their heart. And that is your heart pet. Mitty was my heart dog. Because after working with her, after teaching her there's nothing to be afraid of, after getting weight on her, I could give that dog commands without saying a word. When my husband passed, she was there with me constantly. To this day, the best pet I have ever had. And when she got diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, we tried everything we could to keep her with us. And I got to spend one extra year with her. And then she passed. Had I given up at the very first sign of this is going to be a lot of work, this is going to be trouble, I would have never had those 6 amazing years. This doesn't mean that I love any pets I've had less. This doesn't mean I love my beagle, who I still have to this day, rocking it at 15 years young, any less. No, I just love them differently. But Mitty is always going to stand out in my eyes and in my heart. And she is the one who's gave me that lesson to never give up when a pet misbehaves. If you have the ability to give a person a second chance, you have the ability and honestly a little bit of the responsibility to give a pet another chance. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl.
Come back. How do our pets deal with the cold? We'll travel back in time to look at how much it costs to transport some animals across the Wisconsin River. And of course, we've got Pete Schwab's classic cinema pick of the week. A little later on, our cover story on an exotic pet rescue. But first, Veterinary Digest recently provided profiles of people who own a cat or dog. What do you think it reveals? We'll let you know when we return. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Do you have a cat or a dog? Well, Veterinary Digest created a profile of people with those pets, and it shows cat owners are more likely to work in creative fields. But if you have a dog, you probably work in business or in finance. What do you think? Does that describe you? In just a moment, how our pets deal with cold weather. But first, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
I decided to wait one more week until I make a Christmas movie the weekly classic, assuming you all have your holiday go-to film faves already. Sometimes it's fun to look back on an incredibly successful director or actors when they were in the beginning stages of a career. Today we take a trip back to 1996 as we revisit the film Bottle Rocket, a film a surprising amount of people have not seen or heard of, but one worthy of a mention. The director, Wes Anderson, and his two lead actors, Owen and Luke Wilson, were all friends who put their heads together and came up with a gem of an indie comedy. Anderson shot the film initially as a short that was seen by a family friend and producer. Money was raised, a feature film was shot, and the careers of Wes Anderson, Owen Wilson, and Luke Wilson took off. Bottle Rocket is the story of Dignan, played by Owen Wilson and his friend Anthony, played by Luke and their friend Bob, all of whom are captivated by the idea of being thieves. Dignan, a bit of a sweet goof, somewhat delusional, and the leader of this makeshift gang, has an innocent childlike charisma. Anthony struggles with mental health and tends to go along with Dignan to be a good friend. Bob is the rich kid with the car, and every gang needs a wheelman. Their first robbery is a bookstore in a strip mall. The robbery is hilarious, but the scene where they plan the heist is brilliant too, especially since they are all distracted with their newly purchased firearm.
Are the explosives really necessary here? I think it'd be a lot more simple if I just walk up to the door alone. I think that would be...
Why are you undermining me, man? How much bullets does this thing take?
Bob, look, please, I'm paying man.
Damn it! You're not paying attention if you're messing around with the gun. Now quit... Anthony, just keep the gun on the table.
I can't focus unless the gun is on the table.
Well, you just paid for it. Shut up, man. Shut up. I'm warning you now. Be quiet, please.
It's true, Dignan. I paid for the gun.
Say it again. Say it one more time. Say it again. Repeat what you just said.
I paid for the gun.
He's out. You're out, too. And I don't think I'm in either.
Just calm
down. No gang.
The trio escape with maybe a couple $100 tops, and in the words of Dignan, go on the run from Johnny Law. The film has a great cameo from James Caan, who plays an older thief who scams our heroes. Bottle Rocket is full of character-based comedy that emerges organically from a really good script that was co-written by Anderson and Owen Wilson. Solid acting and remarkable directing for a first-time feature filmmaker. Wes Anderson now has a long list of credits and followed Bottle Rocket up with the brilliant Rushmore. Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson went on to become major box office draws while still appearing in their friend Anderson's films. Anderson won an Oscar in 2023 for his short film The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Maybe he'll turn that into a feature film as well. Seems to have worked out pretty well with Bottle Rocket, which is this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Winter weather is here. There is no doubt about that. And while we may be used to the turn of the temperatures, are your pets protected? Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains how they handle the cold.
There are some animals that love the cold weather, like polar bears, snow leopards, and the Arctic fox. Even some birds, like the snowy owl, withstand the brutal winters with their thicker feathers to keep warm. But like the caribou, we're stuck here for the Arctic blasts, and so are our pets. Simply said, if you're cold, they're cold too. So bring them inside. If dogs have to remain outdoors, they need to be in an enclosed kennel with a doghouse as a shelter from the cold. Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. So be aware of your animal's tolerance for the cold weather and adjust accordingly. For example, you'll probably need to shorten your dog's walks in the frigid temperatures to protect you both from weather-associated health risks. Long-haired or thick-coated dogs tend to be more cold-tolerant, but are still at risk in cold weather, while short-haired pets feel the cold the fastest with less protection. And short-legged pets may also become cold faster because their bellies and bodies are more likely to come in contact with the snow-covered ground. And pets with diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, or hormonal imbalances may also have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. And the same goes for very young and very old pets. If you need help determining your pet's temperature limits, consult your veterinarian. But some things that you can do now is provide choices or stay inside. Play dress up and consider a dog sweater or a coat. And always check their paws. They could crack and bleed from stepping on the ice and also prone to frostbite, just like us. And arthritic and elderly pets may have more difficulty walking on snow and ice and may be more prone to slipping and falling too. And be aware, if your pet is whining, shivering, seems anxious, slows down or stops moving, or they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly because they're showing signs of hypothermia. Stay warm and stay safe this winter, both you and your entire family, including the fur babies. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This issue of New Wisco Weekend focuses on pets and animals, so let's take a trip to the southwest portion of our state, specifically Richland County. We've got some interesting historical facts related to the transporting of animals across the Wisconsin River in Briggstown. Here's Ken Theed.
November 20th, 1850, the new Board of Supervisors took possession of the helm of government, and the first act of their administration was to authorize James Laws to establish and keep a ferry at Briggstown on the Wisconsin River, at the same time establishing the following: the rate to be charged for the ferriage included 2 horses and a wagon, 50 cents, 1 horse and a wagon, 25 cents, 1 horse and a carriage, 35 cents. 1 horse and a man, 25 cents. Cattle, per head, 10 cents a cow. Each foot passenger, 10 cents. Hogs and sheep, per head, 3 cents each.
Theed is president of the Richland County Historical Society. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Ahead on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story about a New Wisco nonprofit taking care of the unwanted finned, feathered, and fanged pets. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elected officials continue their criticism of the federal government over its response to the reports of drones, mostly in New Jersey. Federal and military authorities say they've not assessed any threat. The FAA has published a new website and information about drones. In a video on the site, FAA spokesman Kevin Morris says,
"The FAA regulates drones to keep our nation's airspace safe and efficient. This includes who can fly them, where they can fly them, and at what altitudes."
Authorities in New York City say there are indications the man accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson will end his fight against extradition from Pennsylvania, where he remains in custody. Today, President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game. On social media Friday, he said that Republicans will do everything in their power to end daylight saving time. And Texas sued a New York doctor for providing abortion pills to a woman in the Dallas area. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A win for Badgers volleyball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team came back last night to eliminate Texas A&M 3-2 in the NCAA regionals. The Badgers will play Nebraska Sunday at 2 p.m., carried on ABC TV. The Cornhuskers beat the Badgers twice during a regular season. NBA, the Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks today in the NBA Cup semifinals as the tournament gets underway in Las Vegas. Baseball, the Brewers say it's a good deal. They traded away closer Devin Williams to the New York Yankees in exchange for two players, left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez, infielder Caleb During, and for cash consideration. The 30-year-old Williams was with the Brewers for 6 years. NFL, Packers headed to Seattle to face the Seahawks tomorrow night. Defensive back Jair Alexander, still dealing with a knee injury, was not at practice yesterday.
Why wasn't he there?
Just based on what I saw over the last couple days, didn't feel like he was ready to play.
So will he be out then this week?
Yeah.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of rain and snow and highs in the mid-30s, a bit breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, rain mixed with snow and temps around 34. For Sunday, cloudy and 42. Clouds and 42 again for Monday with a slight chance of rain, 33 on Tuesday.
Currently 26 degrees.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert, the ear.
Right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to fake.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Dom Selvia. Coming up Monday, we'll talk gas prices heading into the holidays, and it's not too late to run for local office. We'll tell you how.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This week's theme is animals and pets. And for our cover story, we're going to look at a rescue for pets that might be considered a bit odd, unusual, the exotic pets. Exotic pets aren't always welcome in shelters, not because they're bad, but because many shelters don't have the experience or the facilities to care for them. So then what happens when the owner of the finned, feathered, and fanged has a pet that they can no longer care for? Unfortunately, people sometimes release these pets into the wild, which is dangerous for the pets and the ecosystem. J&R Aquatic Animal Rescue, or JRAAR in Neenah, works to provide people a place to rehome exotic pets that they can no longer care for without worry or questions. John Moyles is the founder, director, and president of JRAAR.
So we started out focusing just on fish because we kind of found out that there's no pound for fish. If you have a fish that you can't take care of anymore, what do you do with it? You can't go to the Humane Society. There's no rescues around that really take them. So we found that people were just like letting them go into the river. So we started with just fish, and now we've branched, since we have our rescue facility, we've branched out to birds, small mammals, reptiles, amphibians, that sort of thing.
At a November rehoming event at the Bark House and Waterfowl Preserve, JRAAR took in 13 surrendered animals, including finches, frogs, turtles, and tortoises. JRAAR works with area partners like the Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance, Winnebago Waterways, and the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Water Resources Institutes. They underscore the importance of responsible pet ownership and avoiding harmful releases of exotic species into the wild. Such releases can devastate local ecosystems. Even something as innocuous as a goldfish could cause problems.
You know, like you get a goldfish at the carnival, you know, you don't know what to do with it. And then, yeah, you know, if it weren't for us, you wouldn't really have a place to go with that goldfish. And you might think that, you know, dumping it into the lake or a river might be a good option. But those animals can actually, you know, survive and thrive in our native waters. And then that will outcompete native animals by becoming an invasive species.
Additionally, releasing into the wild is dangerous for the animals involved.
Most of the animals you find in a pet store are going to be tropical animals, and most of them would not survive our Wisconsin winters. They wouldn't last very long. Even if they could survive the summer, they would quickly die in the winter.
Moyle said that JRAAR will also help reunite lost exotic pets with their owners. Such was the case in October when an iguana pushed open a window screen and went on walkabout near Oshkosh West High.
We got a call from Oshkosh Police Department about an iguana at large, and we went down there. And by the time we got there, a good Samaritan had already captured it and put it into a carrier. So we switched it out, and, you know, I posted it on the Lost Pet website, posted it on our Facebook page, and within hours, we got a response that we found the owner.
That's wonderful, but that's not always what happens, is it?
No. Well, you know, that's not all that happens, because a lot of times when people have exotic animals, they don't think they have a resource. You know, like if you lose a dog or a cat, you'd know, like, oh, I should call the Humane Society, I should call the community service officer, I should call animal control, just let them know. If they find it, they should contact me. People generally don't think of that when they lose an exotic animal, like a lizard or a snake. They just think that, like, no one can help them. But there are a lot of resources for people that are missing pets, and you should always call the Humane Society, always call the police department, and just let them know that you lost an animal, you know, if somebody finds it, to let you know.
JRAAR's efforts and partnerships have helped ensure positive outcomes for exotic pets. They emphasize the value of rehoming options for exotic pets like birds, reptiles, and fish, which can be difficult to rehome through traditional shelters. If you wish to surrender an exotic or aquatic animal, Moyle says his organization does about 29 exotic surrender events across the state of Wisconsin every year. You can also contact them directly through their website.
We don't have a surrender fee. We feel that that is already like a really hard choice that you have to make, and we don't want to add any barriers to that. So all you have to do is go to our website, fill out the form, make an appointment to drop it off.
Some of the surrendered pets become animal ambassadors for educational purposes. They visit libraries and schools throughout the state. But Moyles says most of them are put up for adoption to find a new home. There are anywhere between 200 and up to 1,000 animals available for adoption at any given time. They count each fish, bird, or invertebrate as an individual.
So just like any other, you know, like Humane Society or Rescue, there's an application process. We have our application on our website. You fill that out. We go over it, ask some follow-up questions, make sure you've got everything that you need. And then you're sent a link to make an appointment to pick it up. So that way our volunteer staff knows that you're pre-approved. Also, since we're all volunteers, so when our chores are done and we don't have any appointments, we just go home. So if you show up, we might not be here.
Moyle says he's seen many animals come and go in his 30 years of working with exotics. He says JRAAR rescues an average of 253 animals every month. The organization took in over 1,900 animals in 2023 and looks to exceed that number in 2024. This weekend, JRAAR is in Hudson for an exotic pet surrender event at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, the Wisconsin campus. These events allow people to surrender their exotic pets that they no longer can care for in a safe, judgment-free environment. Moyles added that while they will take just about any exotic animal, they don't take dogs, cats, rabbits, or guinea pigs because humane societies and other shelters can take care of those types of pets. JRAAR also will not take farm animals. But they will take fish, frogs, lizards, turtles, invertebrates like isopods and tarantulas, and birds.
If you have an animal that you can't take care of anymore, contact us. Even if we can't directly help you, we can find someone who will. You know, like even if you have a cat or a dog, we can point you in the right direction of somebody who can help.
Upcoming events include an exotic pet surrender event at Shawnee Community High School on January 11th and an exotic pet adoption event at Petco in Oshkosh on January 18th. For information on upcoming events, see JRAAR's Facebook page and website. JNR Aquatic Animal Rescue is Wisconsin's largest 501c3 exotic animal rescue. It's dedicated to the rehoming of exotic animals and conservation education. JRAAR is also USDA licensed and works closely with vets to keep exotic pets healthy and happy while they wait for their new owners. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Black and orange stray cats sitting on a fence. By with my tail in the air. Stray cat strut, I'm a
please cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova. Hey,
man, that's that.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can.
The Oshkosh Area Humane Society is looking for adopters and foster homes for the hundreds of animals it cares for. All are looking for their forever home by the end of the holiday season. Yava Engel is the executive director of the OAHS. She says she wants to encourage anyone who wants a pet to consider adopting from the shelter right now.
Not only do we have a lot of animals here, there are a lot of animals on our wait list as well that are waiting to be surrendered. Adoptions have been slow. We have a lot of cats. We have a lot of dogs and small mammals too. We have some rabbits and we have some guinea pigs. We can use all kinds of adopters.
OAHS especially wants people to adopt its longtime residents, the ones who've been in foster care the longest. Engel says finding them homes frees up the foster families to help other animals that aren't doing well in the shelter setting.
No animal wants to be in a shelter setting, don't get me wrong. but some animals handle it a little bit better than others. And so it's extremely important from stress management and anxiety management standpoint to find these foster homes who can help the dogs and the cats to feel more like at home. It's calmer, typically, the noise level, the smells, and so on.
Engel added that the shelter also wants to give some relief to the current fosters. Some of them have been fostering animals for over a year.
I mean, fosters need some time off sometimes. Fosters also travel, and so it becomes an issue when these animals have to come back for a little bit to the shelter when we are so full.
People interested in adopting a cat can fill out the matchmaking questionnaire online or in person to be matched with the perfect kitty for their lifestyle.
We are a matchmaking shelter. We're not first come, first serve. We look for the best fit to ensure that the animal really is exactly what the adopter is looking for, and that in turn that the animal is a good fit for the adopter as well.
Cats and kittens can be introduced and adopted anytime the shelter is open. Currently, the OAHS does not charge an adoption fee for cats and kittens. However, a licensing fee, microchip fee, and vaccination fee may apply at the time of adoption. The process for adopting a dog from OAHS is similar to that for cats. However, the online application process must be completed before the meet and greet. Engel says that even if an adopter doesn't know which dog they're interested in, they're still asked to fill out the application and make an appointment.
When dogs are in their kennels, they are anxious. They're looking for attention. All it takes is for one dog to start barking. All of them are barking, and they appear very stressed, and it's difficult for adopters to assess, is this a good dog for me?
Engel added this approach is successful even for dogs that are hard to place.
I think our approach really has been successful with some of the shyer dogs. Some of the dogs who are afraid of strangers, we know they're great dogs because when the staff are working with them, they're so loving. And I'll give you an example of Turtle. Turtle was this large brindle. I couldn't even tell you what breed she was. She appeared to have a little bit of hound in her, a little bit of pity in her, pure mix. But She was a large dog, strong dog. And she was very shy with strangers. So A, we would rarely get applications for her, and B, when we got them, the meet and greet did not go well just because of her behavior, appearance. And so we knew we had to find that one adopter that was willing to work with her, and we actually did. It was a couple from Stevens Point who found Turtle through Petfinder. They met Turtle three times, and the first time was here. The second time was at a park, I believe in Waupaca, so kind of midway. Our staff drove Turtle there to meet with them. And the third one was in their home. Our staff brought the dog over. So that slow introduction really worked. And Turtle is still with the lovely couple in Stevens Point. And they actually have a restaurant, a vegan restaurant in Stevens Point. And they just did a fundraiser for us just because they love Turtle so much and they love what we do. So we know this approach works.
Adoption fees start at $50 for dogs with special needs. Senior dogs 8 years old and older typically have an adoption fee of $50 to $100. And young adult dogs typically have an adoption fee of $150 to $250. Higher adoption fees for younger dogs help supplement the reduced adoption fees for dogs that may be overlooked by adopters due to age, medical need, and more. To start the adoption process or to find out more about OAHS, visit their website, oahs.org. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
And I got cat style.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Get two newsletters every week from your favorite radio stations by simply going to our website and signing up. WGBW.FM/newsletter and WISS.FM/newsletter. The newsletters come out every Tuesday morning and Friday morning, and it's packed full of information about what's going on in our community. WGBW.FM/newsletter and WISS.FM/newsletter.
Do animals enjoy music? One UW-Madison researcher found that cows produce more milk while listening to songs that are considered relaxing. And a local band may have found the answer to the music question, too. Their story is coming up. First, do you celebrate your pet's birthday? A Veterinary Digest survey shows pet owners of all kinds do. But if you have a dog, you're twice as likely to celebrate and probably even throw a party for your pooch. This is New Wisco Weekend.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. There's a local band who doesn't only share a love of music, but also their fondness for animals. So put songs and pets together, and you have a pretty unique story. Terry Barr returns to tell us more about the group Radio for Pets, how they're helping animals in the community, and the meaning behind their music. Let's take a listen.
I don't know what's in this drink. Some random guy just handed it to me. It's made of rocket fuel from the way my heart's been beating, beating, beating since you looked at me. Yes, are you okay to drive? Cause I'm leaving soon and you can tag along if you like. How do you feel about stargazing on the roof of my van? We can just sit and talk about nothing.
We are listening to the song About Nothing. Now, this song is by the band Radio for Pets. The band's out of the Green Bay area, and I am so lucky I have Billy Block. Billy is the lead singer in the band. Billy, thanks for joining us. Yay!
Oh, of course. I'm glad to be here today.
First thing I want to ask you, before we get into the name of the band Radio for Pets, can you tell us a little bit about the song About Nothing?
Yeah, About Nothing, I think I like it because there's not a lot in that song that's buried in metaphor. Like, it is exactly what it says on the tin. It is just a out-and-out, cheesy, sort of like pop-punk love song. And I think doing a song like that every once in a while, especially when the rest of our catalog does tend to be on the darker, sort of sadder side, is, I don't know, it's just like a nice breath of fresh air to go out and do something just exuberant and happy, you know?
You gotta love it, because when you are listening to it, you kind of start bopping around, and that's fun. Now, from there, I want to ask you about Radio for Pets. Do you target your music towards pets? Because I have read that pets love music too.
We write music exclusively for animals, actually, and just the fact that people also like it is like a nice, you know, it's a nice little surprise every once in a while, you know? But really, it's for your dog, exclusively. So,
no cats? Are you being mean to cats?
No, well, no, actually, this goes to something I always talk about. I've used to, for a long time, said as a joke that like every sort of love song that I've ever written is about my cat, Lily. She did pass away last year, unfortunately. Oh. She had a long, long, happy life. She was 19. The grain of truth to that joke I always used to tell was, like, she loved listening to me play music. So whenever I'd pull out my guitar and sit down to start working on and writing something, she would always be like right there curled up, purring and sleeping. And so as much as I joke, like every love song I ever wrote was for Lily. Every song I ever wrote, for the most part, in my entire career, was with her sitting there, me just playing music for her.
They can be such an inspiration, but then when you read research about how much animals really can love music, and of course, vice versa, it's so good for us to listen to music too. But Radio for Pets, where does the name of the band come from?
So there is a cartoon called Avatar, Legend of Korra. I wish there was a cooler story behind it. But there's a gag where it's like this sleazy business guy and he's throwing out like business ideas. And, you know, he's like, I don't know, cars for children. No, that's not going to work. Radio for pets. And he just kind of throws that out in the middle of like a long list of different business ideas. And I'm like, that's fun.
It makes for a great band name and a great discussion. I mean, what a way to open the door to just be able to talk to anyone about anything.
Right.
I do want to ask you, you know, since we are talking about pets and you opened up about your cat,
yes.
I have seen that all of you in the band have also volunteered to try to get animals adopted to find their forever home.
Yes.
That is so heartwarming. Why is that important?
I've always said, like, in general, charity work is very important to me as an artist, for any organization, really. But again, with the name Radio for Pets, doing stuff with like the Humane Society, we just did that photo shoot. I think that's what you're referencing, with Safe Haven here in Green Bay. They're like a cat sanctuary. Just doing stuff like that just feels right. As an artist, you know, we rely so much on community support for everything we do, you know, like the fans or whatever. And it feels important to give back as much as we can. And if we can help some animals find a house, like, especially, I am a very big cat person. So yeah. Working with Safe Haven was a whole lot of fun.
If people want to see some of those photos, I mean, they are cute. They're clever. This isn't you guys just sitting around and there's some cats around. You guys are snuggling the cats. People check those out?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure they're all posted up on our Facebook page, which, you know, give us a follow and a like. That helps out local bands a whole lot.
but you get it, because you did a cat portrait, you know, that yes. That's pretty special. So you get it. You get the idea. What else can you tell me about your band?
We've been playing now for about 3 years. We are currently in the process of writing and recording our first full-length album. Also, for those of you listening, if you live in the Fox Cities area, we are going to be auditioning drummers relatively soon. So keep an eye on our social medias for that if you're looking to join a band.
So we are going to end this interview now with one of your other songs called Nervous Looks Good on You.
Yes.
Is this written about a pet?
No. this song, the backstory is the vibe of the song. Like, what it's about is like sort of the feelings you get when like you're in a brand new relationship and it's just starting and, you know, you're sort of crazy about this person, but you also don't want to seem like a weirdo.
This is Billy Block. He is with Radio for Pets. Let's take a listen to this song now. Nervous Looks Good on You. Billy, thanks so much for your time. This has been really fun.
Thank you for having me.
I've spent the last hour looking for porn stars who look like you.
New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, and Pete Schwaba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer, and this week we had a special appearance by Ken Theed. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime. My email address is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us.
You can also contact us through the Civic Media app. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Earl Ingram.
Join me next time for Motown Monday. We'll start the countdown to the holidays, react to the news from the weekend, and end the show with the Politrickster of the Day. Don't miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Local mayors in New Jersey continue to criticize how the federal government's responded to reported drone sightings. Federal authorities say they've not assessed any threat from these objects and that some are just fixed-wing aircraft mistaken for drones. The mayor of Washington Township, New Jersey, Matthew Morello, tells ABC.
There's really only two ways you can look at this. One is somebody knows something and they're just not willing to communicate it down. Now, whether it's a national security issue or they just don't want to tell us, we don't know. Or no one has any idea. And I find that really hard to believe.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi remains hospitalized in Luxembourg. The 84-year-old suffered a hip injury after she fell on a congressional trip to Europe. She'll need surgery. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with other diplomats from Turkey and the Arab League to discuss ways to assist Syria after the collapse of Bashar Assad's government. President-elect Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game today. This is ABC News.